Hey everybody, welcome back to the B list. I almost said the B side. I'm out of sorts this week. I'm so tired. But I've got a repeat guest. It's your third time back.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Mariah Smith. She's a writer. A host. You would call yourself a host. A thinker.
Yeah. I love that.
You guys know her from Smith Sisters Live. That is on Radio Andy, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
And then you've got Spectacle True Crime, which is a really great true crime kind of like podcast series.
Yeah.
The recent one was with like Ted Bundy. It was about Ted Bundy.
It was about Ted Bundy, yeah.
But it's about so much more because it's like you really dive into like how essentially like white men get away with so much. And, you know, it's like, we'll talk about it. But there's like.
Yeah.
And then you're also a writer on Grownish. Grownish is premiering later this month on the 20th.
Yes, it is. July 20th. Yeah.
Ooh.
On Freeform.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Are there three Smith sisters?
There are three. And I feel like some people get confused because two of us in LA, one's in New York, and there are three, but also five. Both of them are married to women. And, you know, so it's all very like, it's just a lot of ladies.
Okay. Do you guys ever compare yourselves to the Richard sisters?
You know what? I feel like we've had like a couple of conversations of who's who, and it that one gets tricky because we have pretty good comps for the Kardashians. I'm Khloe, my sister Lauren's Kim, and my other sister Rachel's Courtney. But the Richard sisters, I think it gets tricky because there are certain sisters you really want to be and certain ones you don't want to be in certain circumstances. Like I'm going to actually go out on a limb here and say, I'm going to bite the bullet and say I'm probably the Kim.
Okay.
My sister Rachel.
But that's the one we love. Yeah.
Exactly. My sister Rachel is the Kyle and my sister Lauren is the Kathy.
Okay.
Or maybe Rachel's Kyle and Lauren's Kathy. It's that one gets a little tricky, but I'd love to be a Kyle, but I know myself too well.
No, I mean, when you play those games, especially with friends, you just have to be accepting of whatever they decide that you are. Like, it's not what you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, in Spice Girls, people are always like, well, this doesn't really pertain, though, because, like, if they get racist.
They get racist quick.
Not my friends. But, you know, growing up, you'd be like, which Spice Girl am I? And they're like, scary. So scary. It's like, what? I'm, like, not scary at all. Like, nothing.
At all.
Anybody that knows me, I don't even think you have to know me to know that I'm ginger.
You're a ginger.
I'm very ginger.
You're a ginger. You're 100%. A ginger. I think that I am, people would assume I'm a posh, but I really am a baby. So I always say baby. Yeah, I always go through that. And I'm like, I really, you know, struggled, but I never got a chance to live those dreams because, like you said, everyone jumped to scary, and I was sitting there with Bantu knots in my head every Halloween.
I hate racism.
Hate it.
So busy week for me. Well, busy week for the world.
For the world. <I love that. laughs> Busy week for me. And actually, you know what?
Yeah, for all of us. I'm sorry, you know, for all of us. It's I don't know where to start. You know, someone said to me today, they said, it's like the Supreme Court is acting like there's a liquidation sale on evil.
Ooh. Yep, everything must go. Everything must go.
Our lease is up. We got to get the fuck out of here.
It is a fire sale. They said we got to go. They're putting all of our rights on offer up in Facebook Marketplace right now.
And they said if we got to go, y'all got to go. Meaning
y'all got to go. And I will say,
EPA dust.
We're going to get into it as you promised me, because I know I would die without it. Every time I see anything crazy, I think, as you say, are the brands okay? And the ultimate brand is the Supreme Court, and they are not.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay? Absolutely. I'm telling you that. They're tweeting thirst traps online, the equivalent of that, with taking away our little rights. I'm like, we can't have this.
It's so insane. Speaking of our brands, okay, so that was, the show was, what, today's Thursday? So the show was Tuesday, so... if you guys are listening, you've seen me post it on my Instagram, I'm sure. But I never told anybody like how this originated, like how the show.
Yeah, tell me.
Random. It's so random. Okay, so because you know I did the story series Our Brands. Okay, one day I just started seeing them because once you start seeing one, you start noticing how they all move online. It's crazy. So I started it, and I would like you know I would just always call it Our Brands. Okay, and specifically during Pride, I started. I hope I'm close enough to the mic. I think I am.
I think you are. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was talking about it like during Pride, and a couple of weeks went by, and then like 2 weeks ago, it was about 2 weeks ago, I got a DM from this ad agency. It's called Mother New York, which is like I don't work in advertising, so I don't really know about that world. But I did look them up, and they're huge in New York. They're like Target, Nike.
Jesus.
And they were like, everyone in our office follows your Instagram stories. We love our brand's okay. We think it's like, we just love it. They were like, we'd love to get on the phone with you and talk about a possibility to do something together. And I was like, we set up a call and they called me and we had a whole Zoom with them and their team. They were like, they offered me a budget. They were like, we want to give you a budget to turn your series into a live event. And I was like, why would you? They were like, no, it's just like it's like it can double as an employee event for us because we already have this money set aside, so you get paid, but also it's good for your brand. And they originally pitched it as like to record it like as a podcast, like a live podcast. But I was like, I don't know, it's kind of, to me it sounds like I don't usually go to like podcast recordings or anything know. So I think like just as a comedy show it would really do well. Anyways, my brain started going, and this was like 2 weeks ago. So I was like, the only way that this would make sense if we do it about Pride, because they wanted to do it specifically about Pride. And so I was like, the only way we can do this is if we do it literally before July. So that gives me like 2 weeks to put this together. But I reached out to my friend Dave Mazzoni, who's are you familiar with Dave? Have you met him?
Yes, a genius, very funny.
We love him. But he had already talked to me about doing some live stuff before. So I was like, this is just perfect. Like, and the budget would definitely include him. So I was like, oh my God, we have to. And he loved it immediately. So we just hit the ground running. We wrote the show in less than like a week and a half, booked the venue, got all the stuff. It was like, but essentially the show, it was like kind of like game show, his show on Quibi with Matt Rogers. Okay. Yeah. It was kind of like segmented, kind of like a variety show. So like the beginning of it was kind of like, I was on stage. I was talking to like, it was my stories, you know, I was just talking about like my pride.
That's what we love to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a section where it was literally just me with a clicker in front of a giant screen with my projected or like, you know, a big screen. And it was a PowerPoint presentation of all the brands. And like, I went through those and we did awards. It was really fun. We did a fashion show. We had people wearing the fashions from all the different brands. Hilarious. I had such a good time.
Please tell me there will be another one.
There will be, but I don't know that it'll be necessarily Our Brands Okay. Maybe it could.
Okay.
There was also a segment where we did like guess that tweet. Like, so I would take crazy reckless tweets from some like very gay tweets from brands where they'd be like, you know, like Nutter Butter would always be like, I like nuts. Da-da-da-da. And so like, you know, and I'd have people guess what the tweet was from. So it was really, really fun. Interactive audience got
I love it. That I like I you don't understand how jealous I was that it wasn't strange that I wasn't in New York. I'm sitting here in LA stressing out wishing I could see the show.
It's my first time, so very overwhelming just to even be on, you know what I mean? Right. But I think I did a good job, so you guys drop down in the comments and let me know. It was a full house. Everyone said they had fun, so listen, if y'all like it, I love it. I want to do more, but I want to do ones necessary. Well, I definitely want to do some maybe that are just focused on telling a story.
Yeah.
Literally me in a chair and just clicking through and telling a story. Like the cowboy story, or if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know? So.
Oh my gosh. You're truly the well run so deep. You have so many.
Just so many stories.
You have so many shows that are just waiting to be performed,
or maybe a recap series. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't watch enough shows anymore because I don't know. Housewives feels like it's a little bit its flop era right now. But I understand that to love these shows is to know that there's peaks and valleys. I think we're in a valley though.
I think so, and I think I'm really hopeful that we're still at the end of the peak, because the past, I want to say over the pandemic, aside from, you know, the last season of Roni, yeah, it's like we've had some good stuff. Like we've been blessed, and we had one of the best seasons of Beverly Hills. We got Salt Lake, like season one. Like we had a great Potomac. You know, things are looking up, and now it's just a lot of content.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of me kind of feels like Beverly Hills is secretly in its flop era and y'all just don't recognize it. I think people are just glamored by all the, all the rich new women and da-da-da, but I don't know. It's really not hidden. Like when you really take away like Erica being drunk, it's like nothing happens.
That's true. I will say, I admittedly haven't seen the past 2 or 3 episodes.
You wouldn't even have to check back. Nothing really happens. Wouldn't even have to look back. Diana acts kind of crazy. Diana is a flop.
Yeah, I'm nervous to see what she's talking about, because everything I see online, I'm like,
they're dragging her to pieces.
This woman, what is going on?
She's trying very hard to play like this villain character. It's a flop and a half. I try that shit with Kim Richards, though. She went last a second. Kim Richards would eat the girls up. Kim Richards, you can't play that. Like, you may do that shit with Sutton. Wait till Kim gets back on the scene.
Oh, Kim, my gosh.
Kim was like a rabid dog, the way she would jive.
Let's talk about your husband energy all day long. Yes. Like that is what we're coming for. And Diana simply isn't ready.
Yeah, she's not ready for it. She doesn't have like the what's the word I'm looking for? God, I'm so like dry this week. I'm like dead.
You had a big show.
She doesn't have the range. But yeah, I'm nervous for her. She won't last. But you know, someone was tweeting today. They also said that they think Housewives is in its flop era. And I'm like, well, I said, but I know you're not talking about Girls Trip.
I know you're not. You're talking about what's on Bravo, not on what's on Peacock. Okay, I'll tell you that much.
Because I'm on the cock, and it's good. I don't know. The cock is hidden different. Never let me down.
I'll tell you that much. It is there. Okay. Cock
never let me down. Okay. Because Miami is so good, and Girls Trip hits. Miami's so good.
Miami took me to another dimension. I wasn't the original iteration. I never saw, so I came in truly blind, and I was like, "This is masterful. Like this is amazing." What I think the Girls Trip is, it's like it's so organic, and the story, they have such history.
They do,
and I'm like, Alexia, they really enjoy each other. Those stories. Like
they would all be doing whatever they're doing anyways. Like they would all be kikiing and making fun of Larsa and fighting about Dick. Like they would be doing.
They don't need cameras. They don't. And I'm like, this is truly, truly.
And they're fabulous. All of them look
fabulous.
Gorgeous.
Have terrible sense of style, but love. Who cares? They're
love. That's Miami.
Rich. Yeah. Like that's what it is.
Yeah.
This is it's giving everything that we needed, and I think with Girls Trip, especially season 2. Because even though a lot of the women, you know, some came in from the same franchises and like seasons, but they have the shared history of being in this Housewives bubble and like knowing how to play the game. And also,
and leaving
I have to say, and leaving it. And like Taylor, I watched early days Beverly Hills long ago, and sometimes I like go back and rewatch, you know, early seasons, but I always forget she existed for some reasons. I think it's so traumatic.
Same, but now I feel really bad.
Seeing her here, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, love.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
It's
life-changing, for real.
I have a question about Taylor. Oh, go ahead. We'll get to it later.
Yeah, I would definitely want to get into that. I want to get over some current events first. Got to get out of the way.
Yes.
Things that I don't even necessarily care too much about. Well, I do care about this. Cassidy Hutchinson. Are you even watching those, the January 6th hearings? I know it's so boring for some people.
I have been at work and on set, and I've been seeing things online, but it stresses me out.
I get it. Anyway, she showed up. She had the tea. When she showed up in the white pantsuit with her hair
pulled back, I saw that online.
And I was like, she got the tea. Yeah, she's about to spill. And she did. She was like talking about how Donald Trump was like throwing dishes, which was a normal occurrence at the White House. He would throw something and she had to clean ketchup off the wall of the White House. He, during January 6th, when all the people were marching with the guns and shit like that to the Capitol, he tried to get his Secret Service drivers to turn the car around because he was going to try to go there and lead them. He tried to grab the steering wheel. Then he lunged at the Secret Service guy. I mean, this shit is crazy.
This man is deranged.
Deranged. I think we're finally hitting a turning point, though, where I think that the people are that are supposed to be hearing it or hearing it are just tired of it. They're like, okay. I think, so we'll probably get another devil. We'll get another white devil. Yeah. It won't be him.
This devil we don't know is better than the one we do. I'm like,
It's too late. It don't matter now. They already got rid of EPA. So no matter who you put in there now, because we're going to be underwater anyways. It'll be the United Floating Rafts of America. in a couple, like 30 years, we're all going to be under fucking water. Especially the girls in Miami. They're the first to go.
Shit. We got to say, I hate it, but protect them at all costs.
Coastal elites.
Yep. Now that I need them. If you save one group of women in Florida, the only people I want saved in Florida is that cast.
Yes. Not to get too political with everyone listening, but one more time to let y'all know, y'all better show up to these fucking midterms in November because
they better.
I'm telling y'all, if Republicans gain the House and the Senate back, it don't matter whether you live in California, Miami, Tech or anywhere, it don't matter where whatever's coming down the pipeline and the SCOTUS and all that shit, it won't even matter.
It's all gonna be.
They're trying to get rid of abortion across the board. So
exactly, it's like they don't, and it's still the game of, you know, kicking the ball down the line and sort of absolving themselves federally of any, you know, responsibility, quote unquote, of whether a woman chooses what to do with her body.
Yeah,
but it's all. They're looking for, they're hoping this dust, you know, this chaos is enough to distract people. Oh, like you said, the ultimate goal of destroying that right completely.
Yes. Gay rights, gay marriage is up next, obviously. As Bette Midler warned us on Twitter, but
she did.
She sure fucking was. Oh my God. It's okay. Oh,
focus on the movie, Bette. Focus on Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, let's do the rollout for that. Honestly, I thought about it. I was like, you know, honestly, take gay rights or take not gay rights, not all of them. I want some of them, but take gay marriage because I don't think I'm going to use it anyways.
I'm not going.
I don't even need it anyways because nobody's going to ask me. Yeah. I mean, I just got off Pride. And do you know how many fucking people hit on me? And then I was like, oh, cool. Like, da da da. And then they would be like, yeah, my husband. I was like, that shit I'm talking about. Married gay people are having more sex than any of me and my single gay friends. They're having more sex.
I mean, I'm not a gay man, but I feel like the stories I've heard, I must agree.
But I don't. That's not me judging. I want to be clear, everybody.
No, I'm just saying.
But I care when y'all coming up to me.
When you already got a ring on the finger, I don't think you're looking to put something on someone else's. So I truly understand. It's like I unfortunately need your soul focus. So
all these men can offer these days is monkeypox. So
don't even bring it up. Don't curse us. Don't curse us. Those photos, Lord. Ooh.
Speaking of ring, I don't really care about this, but Taylor Swift is engaged.
I just saw that little headline and I said, let me scroll on by.
I had to Google who the boyfriend was. His name is Joe Alwyn.
Okay.
I had to Google him. Who is he?
You said his name is questioning in your voice. Yes, he's
Is he big? Is he big? Y'all, I'm not even playing, you guys.
And this is coming from me. I'm proudly anti Taylor Swift. I think she can write good songs. My family and I are like Harry Styles, One Direction people, and we just have to stay in our lane in that one.
Okay.
However, I, you know, just as a child of entertainment, I feel like everyone knows who Joe Alwyn is, especially when it comes to her. He's from London.
Popped up, and I still didn't know. I was like, okay, so and so I had to go to his little Wikipedia and see. So he's in movies.
Yeah, so he was in The Favorite. He was in a couple other movies. Like that was a big one. Then he's now in this Hulu show. I think Conversations with Other People or something like that. Like one of those shows. That's one of the new like. Marquee shows for Hulu, but he's always around. They do keep their relationship low key, but very publicly low key.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
I'm obsessed. I wish I had as much knowledge about that man as you do. Jealous.
The Men in Black pin.
Oh God. Yes.
You know, that's what LVP said to like the psychic one time when the psychic was like and explaining to her like what the show, what is it? There was a show, Medium.
Based
on a psychic's life, the one, the chain smoking psychic. And she was telling LVP about it, and LVP goes, "Oh, I must watch it." She's just like, "That's me. That's me about this Joe Alwine person." I'm like, "Oh,
not Alwine. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Let's move on, y'all, because I don't know who the fuck it is." New Beyonce.
Yes. What do you think?
I'm already sick of it. No, I mean, it's good.
I've only heard it once.
Oh, you aren't a gay man.
I heard it one point two times. I saw a TikTok last night using it. I do. It is stuck in my head still.
Yeah.
After that one time, so I feel like I've heard it on a loop.
You're really inside. I'm like in the streets. Like I am.
The thing is, I'm like, I don't even think I'm that inside. I just, I guess I'm in places that aren't, that is a very good. Yeah, that clearly, I need to reevaluate. I didn't even put that together. Oh, Lord. Oh, God.
You're friends with Ira, right?
No.
Ira Madison? Oh, do you know who he is?
I know him, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you knew him. He was in LA, but now he's here. Yeah. You would have heard it more if he was in LA. Did you hear about this Carnival Cruise fight?
Okay.
Did you see the video?
I didn't see. I couldn't find the video because when I saw it, there was no video. I wanted to see the video. There was no video on what I, you know, saw when I saw the headline. But what happened?
Fight. The video was sleepy. It's a whole 2 minutes of a bunch of people. You can't see shit. Move out the way. I want to see who's connecting.
Right.
What's happening. Who's winning. I hate there's nothing worse than a bad videographer during a good fight.
Oh my God. It's like, if you're going to pull out your camera, pull it out for a purpose.
And hold it steady.
We don't need it's a twofold thing. We need the footage, and we also don't need people who aren't getting good footage clogging the feed. So you got to have a purpose. You got to come through.
And number three, I don't need every bit of commentary. You think you're fucking funny, wise guy. Shut up a little bit.
I want to hear what the action is saying.
Yes. Yep. What's the action saying?
Come on.
Come on, man. So if you guys haven't heard, I think it was literally last night, maybe, on a Carnival cruise. Where else? But where else? Whoever's riding Carnival cruises in 2022 deserves every bit of fight they get. Struggle. So a huge fight took place with a huge crowd of passengers aboard a Carnival Magic ship or whatever. And it was allegedly ignited by allegations of cheating, according to a passenger who shared the video with Fox News, which, by the way, it was all black people. Like, why are y'all sharing with Fox News? That's just what they want.
Fox News?
Yeah, don't give it to them. Give it to TMZ. What?
Yeah. I would even accept Hollywood Unlocked. What are you doing? Give it to Jason
story.
Lee.
Yeah, but he might switch the story up.
He might be like, oh, there's a video of the queen dying on a Carnival cruise.
Oh, fuck him. I can't believe his site is still up.
I can't. Crazy. It's so funny that he had those Hollywood Unlocked awards. What is happening?
You know why? Because fake news reigns supreme in 2022.
It does. It does. And he is the king.
He DM'd me once. I'm not even fucking kidding. Let me pull it up. Y'all, hold
Stop
on.
Stop it.
I'm not even kidding. I've never met this person in my life. Let me see if I can find him. It was so long ago. He just saw me online and was like, hey, hold on. Where is he?
Oh, my God.
Let me see.
A Jason Lee DM is a jump scare.
He must have a different account now. I can't. He must have like a different, because I'm looking at his verified one. I'm not even kidding. He DM'd me, y'all.
Oh, Lord.
I would not make that up. Why would I want that?
No, I mean, that would be sinister.
That juju.
That would be sinister. Yeah. That
juju.
You don't want to put that hex on the world, on your life.
But no, okay, so allegedly this whole fight, and it lasted for like an hour, they said, because they didn't have people to break it up, so they just kept going.
No.
Oh, my God. An alleged threesome among the guests aboard the vessel is what caused the rift after one person's significant other discovered the tryst on the trip. I can't.
Lord.
I can't.
Lord. Mm. So were all three people on the trip?
I wish the fight video was better. Maybe I could tell. I mean, okay, it sounds like all of them were, but...
Yeah.
Ugh, I need
this is why we need some boots on the ground journalism. People, you really like gotta do better.
A great show for Zeus.
Yeah.
Behind the fight.
Behind the fight, or you know how they do like cops, like carnival fights or something. Just I want to film Corona Carnival Cruise.
Or maybe behind the boozing.
Yeah. Ooh.
Behind the boozing. It's kind of like behind the music.
Yes.
Let's behind workshop the this. Music.
I love we.
Let's workshop this.
Okay, let's cut and print.
Because you know that anything you pitch to Zeus is going to get picked up. Literally anything.
I think this right here, we're syndicated already.
Yeah, pretty much. The Barbie movie. I'm seeing like so much stuff about it.
So
I'm perplexed. It's not so much that I need to see it; it's that I need to be in it. Like I'm. I've never wanted to see a movie so bad.
So bad.
I'm such a Barbie boy.
Me too. I love Barbie. I like the vibe, the aesthetic. And I wasn't even like into Barbies as a kid. And now I'm like, if I see anything that is promoted to me that says Barbie on it, I will buy it.
Yes.
I don't, unfortunately, that's just what it is. So this movie, and also the fact that there, who knows what the plot is really about.
I know.
It's so much history. Thing. I'm like, I cannot wait till July 2023. I'm gonna need a strung together cut the minute they're done.
And we're talking an actual diverse cast, not just putting two black people in there and saying diversity. Right. No, we're talking like Issa Rae's in it. Apparently,
America Ferrera's in it.
Yes. So many people. Michael Cera's randomly in it. They're saying that I guess Issa Rae might be playing like an alternate Barbie.
Right. I've been thinking because there was that still of Margot Robbie and America Ferrera, and it looked like America could be playing a version of Barbie as well, but like really? I wasn't positive. Okay. But I think there just are, because I can't remember the day
they could go.
It's like I can't remember the day where all the names kept coming out of so-and-so's been cast in the movie. I can't remember if they said they've been cast as Barbie or Ken. So I think there might be something where she's either in a hallucination or like there's some malfunction and like she mutates. Like I think it's gonna be something very heady and crazy.
Yeah, it's Greta Gerwig, so it's gonna be good. My lazy brain, my first thought goes to the iconic Brady Bunch movie.
Oh.
Where it's like everybody thinks that she's weird. You know what I mean? Like everybody's living their life and she's like stuck in Barbie world. I would live for that, but who knows? I would live for like a re-up of that kind of meta.
I wore out that Brady Bunch VHS. You really don't know. You don't know. Oh my God.
Yeah. I'll be there. I'm waiting. I love all. What? It's the same costume designer from Little Women who won an Oscar for that. And so literally all the outfits are remade, like literally life size versions of famous Barbie outfits. So I love it. I love the attention to detail. Even if it's garbage, I'm still going to see it.
I'm going to see it a couple of times. And also, the best sort of press tour looks, I will have to say, were from Blake Lively promoting A Simple Favor when she was in her suit, three-piece suit era. Love that. And I think this press tour, the looks we're going to get from the cast next year is going to be next level. It's going to be high glam. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to be amazing. So as excited as I am from the film, I'm excited to see what they're wearing on the carpets and to and from their little appearances. Can't wait.
Didn't even write this down, but this totally makes me think. Last night I was reading. Do you know Carrie O'Donnell? I'm asking you all these names. You do?
I don't know him personally, no.
Oh, okay. A good friend of mine had to send it to him immediately. He's obsessed with Rosemary's Baby. It's like his favorite movie. It's like he considers it like a Christmas film. You know what I mean? It's like he's like that. But I just read that they just filmed some movie called Apartment 6A, and it was secretly shot as a prequel of Rosemary's Baby. And it's starring like Julia Garner.
Is that? Oh, yes.
The one who just got Madonna.
Yeah.
Diane Weist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. When was this film?
I guess it just wrapped production. And it's Diane Weist. Yeah, Weist. Okay. She, icon, obviously. Yeah. She's going to play Miss Castavet.
Oh my God.
It makes so much sense, and I'm so fucking here for it. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm so excited. I love Rosemary's Baby.
I feel like next year is going to be great for film. Yeah. I'm very excited to see what pops up. This is all good stuff.
During tumultuous times is usually when artists really, typically
thrive. Pop off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Basketball Wives?
Briefly, never got super into it. Should I?
So they basically, like, there was a, like, old days, it was like just Shawnee and, you know, Tammy and all the, like, the major women. Then, like, they kind of did on LA, they did like a complete revamp of it. Like, about it was like 7 years ago. And they completely revamped it, had like five new women come on, and they were all younger wives and girlfriends and just a lot crazier. Yeah. And they were fighting and all this crazy shit, but like loved every single one of them. And then they lasted for about like two seasons. And then they kind of like re-brought the old ones back. And then that lasted a minute, but now they've completely brought all the young ones back again. And they're like, you know, a little bit older, more mature, more seasoned. It's nothing happens. My friend Jonathan describes it as the most sleepy show, but I'm so hyped for it. Nothing happens, but the fashions are wild.
Where can I watch this?
VH1.
It's still on VH1? Oh, okay.
It's still on VH1. Yeah.
Okay. I love brand loyalty. Go off.
Just check out like one episode and see how it fits. But it's just like one of those shows you could just put on and you're like, and it's like, oh, this is home. I like
this. I need that. I will get into that. Because I do think I watched back in the day when like Shawnee was on it.
Yeah.
I think I dabbled early then because I remember vivid moments from that. Yeah.
I think those days they were really trying to aim to be something maybe that they weren't really. Like trying to be sophisticated. And the branding is now completely like they basically set them off at the tracks. They were like at the racetrack. They were like, girls, do whatever it is you want to fucking do and just live your, they're like in hair shops buying hair. They're like just wearing like those fuzzy slippers, like monogram bodysuits and shooting guns. And I'm like, I love this.
This is what I wanted all along.
Yeah.
I need that in my life.
It's really colorful. You guys just check it out. It's laughs. I want to talk a bit about Roswell's Ultimate Girls Trip. I want to talk a little bit about it here, and then let's slip over to the B-side. Where are you at with it? Like, what do you love it?
I actually love it. I don't even think it needs an actually. I love it. I'm very proud of it. I will stand flat-footed and tell anyone that who comes my way.
It's a great show.
I think it's really great. I think it's masterfully done. I think my only qualm with it, which I don't really even want to call a qualm because it's just like I still enjoy it, is sometimes it feels like some of them, I would say maybe Dorinda the most, but puts on a little bit too much of her Dorindaness in her confessionals and in her interactions. But then it's like all is forgiven when she settles into actual, because she doesn't need help being herself and being entertaining. And that is seen in moments like the end of this week's episode. So it's very much like, and the beginning, I would say. It's very much her and all her glory. And I think it's a nice twist. And like having her on her home base was a beautiful way to reintroduce her into the, you know,
universe,
the metaverse of Housewives. And I'm like, it works so well, and everyone being so confused as to why this place is special.
I know. That's amazing. What's really amazing is you realize that, like, most of these women, they think so highly of themselves. No,
they're not worrying about anyone else.
They, like, the Beverly Hills one, she's like, oh, I've never seen your show before. They're like, oh, I guarantee none of those white women have ever heard of Phaedra. They've heard of her, but they don't care. They never watched Atlanta. But no, I was going to say about Dorinda, though, it's just like, I was thinking that this episode too, I was like, you know, when we have distance from Dorinda, we miss her because we think of the Dorinda that we fell in love with season 7, 8, 9, before she was such a reality star. She was really just a quiet, not quiet, but she was like, well, actually she was a little bit quiet. That first season where she came on and Sonya was steamrolling her, and she was just like, she's like, I'm just gonna get a Bloody Mary and sit at the bar because you bitches are arguing and I'm not doing this.
And she was trying to be more to herself and not as involved, and then like something changed
and that's the Dorinda that I loved and that's the Dorinda that I always think of, so I'll always have an affinity for her. But yeah, she puts on, and I think that now we're getting a taste of why Andy wanted to put her on, because it's just too set up. It's too trying to make a scene happen. The way she's fighting is like, it's a lot.
It is a lot. But I will say, she still, it's like at her core, even in the manufactured moment she tries to create, there's still that nugget of who she really is, and like trying to just be, you know, be off the grid, be in a lavish estate while being catered to, while, you know, helping people. It's like she has someone sleeping. It may be expensive, but in a pullout bed. So like, we're let's come down to earth a little bit. You have me sleeping in a pullout bed, I'm going to eat upstairs. That's simply what it's going to be.
I eat in bed regardless. I'm like, the way, if I had that many people in my house,
why would I waste my mind worried about that? And she just, again, she needs no help being herself, and she's just so, so consumed, but still very entertaining. Love to see it. I'm obsessed with Jill. I'm truly obsessed with each one of them. The only ones, and I know this is like, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, the only ones I could leave at the door are Tamara and Vicky.
I was going to say the same thing. Why would you, just because Radio Andy?
No, because people love the OGs of those things. I never got into that. So I'm like,
I say that, and I watch their shows, and I agree with you. But you know what? I think that Tamara, what they really should have done is not had them come together. Tamara should have come alone.
Yeah.
Come alone. But, you know, really, Vicky could have stayed at home. I'm never going to like Vicky. So.
Yeah. Because even Phaedra and Eva, like, they knew each other from way before this Real Housewives, but they never even overlapped in as cast members. So it's like they don't have the same history together in this world. And I think Tamara and Vicky, and it might have been different if Vicky's home life was better when she came through, and like having them.
I really don't think it would have mattered.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
Who do you think is the MVP?
Taylor.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
Taylor or Jill? I don't know. I like
Jill?
Oh, we'll go. Only because that Jill is just like seems so confused as to what's happening, and seems so far removed from the
drama.
Trying to be a real housewife. She's like, I'm an actual housewife, and I'm here in the Berkshires. I know what it is to go to the Berkshires from the city. Like, I'm doing my thing. What's happening?
Strikes me as the saddest. There's a little bit of air of sadness about Jill, and I want to get into that. I want to talk about it, because it makes me sad. I want to like Jill, because the memory of her, I'm like, oh, she's gonna come in and she's gonna but it's been a little bit like I forget that she's in the room, and then when she is talking, it's usually like, I'm like, she seems sad to be here.
And I'm shocked like with the whole Dorinda history that she agreed and like why it. That wasn't a big conversation at the onset. And I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah. Well, I think she was just wanting to do anything related to anything to get her back on, you know. Let's talk about your show really quick. So you've got the latest episode just came out from Spectacle True Crime about Ted Bundy. We were talking about that. It's interesting because it kind of dives into not just Ted Bundy, but like how we as a society starting around that era of like televised court stuff, not just making people into stars, but really absolving kind of like a conventionally attractive, usually white men.
Yeah.
Any real responsibility or any culpability and just being like monsters.
It's
a tradition that we continue today.
And dare I say for certain people proudly. But we, you know, really go into like the why we as a people are obsessed with true crime. And like, I didn't realize I was as obsessed as I am. Cause it's like, I love me some SVU. I love me some Dateline. I love my documentaries. I love all that. And I was like, oh, when I list everything I watch and like enjoy and look forward to, it's a lot of true crime. Yeah. And, but I've never been one to be like into serial killers or stuff like that. And that to me is, it's fascinating. Cause I'm like, why do you want to know more about them? But also, as we were working on the show and as I was doing research and, you know, going through, like, one of the, and this, it's so twisted to even say and share this and be, like, upset about it, but one of the actual most prolific serial killers was a black man, and he, no one ever talks about him.
I'm good.
It's like, oh, but we have the Ted Bundys who are, like,
Don't say his name. I don't want them to find out now.
I'm not saying his name. I'm not saying his name. Trust me. But I was like, they, you know, it's all so complicated. And it's like, even in this, for lack of a better term, industry, a black man doesn't even stand a chance. So it's all very nuanced, very difficult to digest, but very fascinating in terms of how we relate to it, how it has shaped our culture and things like we look at like In Cold Blood and the murders that book and story and movie were based on. So it's just all very interesting and compelling and complicated.
Well, you've got that's out, and then you can listen to the episodes wherever you stream.
And
you
also,
you've got your bonus episode too for each one, right?
So each episode has a bonus episode.
Subscribe to.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Thank you.
It's really great, guys. Listen to it. Check it
Thank
out.
Thank you.
Tell the people where to follow you on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram at Mariah 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 or on Twitter at Mariah M-R-I-A-H.
Cool. Let's head over to the B-side. I want to continue talking about Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. And a little bit of Summer House stuff. I have some Summer House.
Yes.
Tea. Yeah. You guys go to patreon.com/theBList. You can subscribe there to the B-List. I think it's like, what, $5 a month? You can get the bonus episode. I don't even know. I just flicked the worst. It ain't that bad, y'all. It's less than Netflix. It's less than Netflix.
Oh, my God.
It'll feed you more. Yeah, it's there, patreon.com/theBList, and subscribe there. And I just want to say thank you guys for supporting. And thank you for everyone that showed up to the show this week for being so supportive. We raised a ton of money for a really great cause as well, FIG NYC. So thank you. I love you guys. Talk to you soon. Meet you on the B-side. Bye.